Hello, and welcome back to the Intentional Mama Podcast, a podcast filled with soul-enriching conversations, bringing light to the fact that intentionality within motherhood is not a one-size-fits-all. I'm your host, Maddie Hessler. I know we are delayed a week, and I'm sure you can hear my raspy voice and plugged nose. I know that you mamas with the little ones during this cold and flu season can relate. Being sick is rough in and of itself, but being sick with sick kids is super rough. And last week was indeed a super rough week in the Hessler household. But as I promised, I'm here to show up fully in my rawness and authenticity. So transparently, on one hand, I feel like I dropped the ball last week and I learned a really big lesson. I feel like starting this podcast has been such a refining process for me overall, even just a few episodes in. But ultimately, you know, I learned this last week how important it truly is to think ahead and to batch create my podcast so that I always have one to post. On the other hand, last week, I most certainly did what God called me to do, which was to truly and wholeheartedly rest. Because like I mentioned in a previous episode, it is so important as mothers that we take care of ourselves first. Because how can we expect to take care of our families if we don't first take care of ourselves? I mean, you can, but only for so long, until you burn out and then you fail daily at bringing your best self to your family. So I did just that, you know, instead of worrying about a drop in engagement or what people would think of me or anything else worldly, I chose to be obedient and rest. You know, I thought about pushing myself to record an episode, but God said rest instead. So like truly rest. So that's what I did. And I feel like that's something that is so hard to do these days, to just like shut out the world, silence the noise, because everything is always calling for our attention as humans, but especially as mothers. We have so many other needs to tend to. We have so many other things going on in our head that we just naturally put ourselves last. And although I think that there is something to be said about being selfless as a mother, there is more to be said about not taking care of ourselves. So I guess I share all of that to remind you mamas to just not forget to choose yourself, but at the same time, to learn lessons along the way, like I did. Now, this week's episode brings so many emotions. It truly is a story of submission, of strength, perseverance, surrender, and so much more. It is my birth story. Now, I of course want to preface that I am not a doctor of any kind. I am not a medical professional. As a mother who personally chose home birth, I understand the importance of ensuring a safe and informed birthing experience for not only mama, but also baby too. I am not a licensed medical professional in any way, and the information I will be sharing in this podcast is solely for informational and educational purposes only. It's important that no matter what you decide for your birth, that you consult with a licensed medical professional. I will not assume any responsibility for any potential consequences resulting from the use of information that I've provided in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you are agreeing to release me from any liability related to the content discussed. Now, let's move on to the good stuff. Through a lot of prayer and a lot of thought, I decided to do a home birth. And so in this podcast, I'm actually going to be going over things like what I did to prepare my mind and body for an unmedicated birth, and also what my birth actually looked like. First up, what I did to prepare my mind and body for an unmedicated birth. Now, I know birth is not a one-size-fits-all, same as motherhood. They go hand in hand. But the following that I'm going to share are some of the steps that I personally took in order to have the unmedicated birth that I so deeply desired, prayed, and believed for. I'm hoping that this will encourage you to intentionally decide what works best for you when it comes to your birth, instead of what a lot of women do, just doing what you are told. And remember, regardless of what happens, the ultimate goal is a healthy mama and a healthy baby. So first up, I chose my birth team very carefully. You know, my husband is, I would say, more of the logical one in the relationship, and I go more off of emotion. And so he keeps me grounded, but I also add a little spice to his life. You know what I'm saying? And so my husband was very adamant on weighing all of our options before we chose to move forward with a home birth. Going into finding out I was pregnant, I had already done so much research, and I was like, you know what, I want to have home birth. And he thought otherwise. He's like, I need to weigh all of these options so that we know no matter what happens, we know that we checked all of our boxes. And I 100% respect him for that and admire him for that. And so that is what we did. So first, you know, the midwife I had in mind is actually several of my girlfriends locally, their midwife, and I had only ever heard such incredible things. And so I was like, oh, that is her. And a little backstory. So we actually conceived the previous year to conceiving my daughter, our daughter, and about 5 days before we were going to meet with the midwife that my friends had, I ended up miscarrying. And I will do an episode on that in the future. But I ended up miscarrying, and this midwife actually helped me navigate that. And so I had already had, like, going into this next pregnancy, I had a emotional attachment to her, rightly so. And so, but again, we wanted to check all the boxes. So we met with a midwife at the hospital. Crazy enough, you know, she said to me, you know, you are as healthy as it can get, you know, you have no risks. As long as it stays that way, I don't see why you shouldn't have a home birth if that's what you really want to do. And so that was really interesting for my husband and I to hear. And then we met with another midwife in town, and you can hear my yawns, mamas, you get it. We actually decided to go with the midwife that I had originally planned on, which was such a blessing. You know, we met with her, my husband met her, and I met her in person for the first time, and it was so special, and we just knew, like, this is it. A big thing for both of us that we figured out was, like, when having the hospital birth, and we have our list of reasons why we chose to not go that route, but there are so many women that have beautiful hospital births. I just want to preface that. But for us, you know, we didn't like the idea that we wouldn't know the exact doctor that was going to deliver our baby. It would just be whoever's on call, which makes sense, right, for a hospital. But for us, we were like, we want to get to know that doctor. We want that to be the one, like the one we trust
throughout this whole 9 month journey to be the one that delivers our baby. And so that is what we were able to have with the midwife, which was a huge blessing. In addition, you know, I also worked with a pelvic floor therapist before birth and did this thing called biofeedback, which I had never heard about. But basically, she hooked me up to, with these little cords, to a machine. She hooked my pelvic floor up to the machine and taught me how to relax my pelvic floor and also like tense up my pelvic floor so I knew the difference. And then she had me get into different birthing positions to see when my pelvic floor was the most relaxed. And so then I used those positions actually during my labor, and it was a game changer. Like, that girl moved so fast through my birth canal for a like first birth. You know, I prayed and worked through all of the fears I had surrounding childbirth. Mindset is so massive when it comes to childbirth. And another amazing thing about having a midwife was that we got so much time with her. Like, our appointments were like 2 hours plus, you know? And so we were able to address all of these concerns, and she was able to like walk us through everything and just give us, she just gave us so much peace around all of the fears that we had or concerns that we had. And she addressed them all. I also listened to the Christian hypnobirthing tracks throughout pregnancy and also labor. I took the Christian hypnobirthing course, so I'm going to link it below. But if you guys are interested in checking that out and end up deciding to buy, you can save 20% with the code MADISON. That's MADISON, all uppercase. Moving on. So I also educated myself throughout pregnancy on what exactly happens within my body as labor progresses so that I didn't fight my contractions or fall victim to them, but instead I chose to submit to them because I knew that my body was doing exactly what it was designed to do. I did my best to remain in a state of gratitude throughout labor, thanking my body for the progression and all of its incredible hard work. I continued to exercise throughout my pregnancy as long as I could, obviously modifying when needed, but this definitely helped my endurance. You know, before pregnancy, I was actually doing HIIT classes, workout classes, so high intensity, a lot of cardio, things like that. And so I continued that in my pregnancy, with modifications, of course. I tracked my calories throughout pregnancy and focused on eating whole foods and organic when possible. Have you ever heard the statement, "You're eating for two"? That is false. I like to debunk that anytime I hear it and say, no, you're eating with two in mind. So you want to make sure that your meals are nutritious and life-giving meals, you know, because you're eating for two is inaccurate for almost all women. We have a base caloric intake we should be consuming on a daily basis, even before pregnancy. And if you don't know what yours is, I highly encourage you figure that out. And I was personally advised to only increase my caloric intake by 300 calories at most. And that was more so towards the end of my pregnancy. A great book, which I'll also link, is called Real Food for Pregnancy. So highly, highly, highly recommend that one. My midwife actually ended up gifting it to me when I got started with her. I stayed hydrated with electrolytes and ate a protein-based meal at the beginning of labor when I still had an appetite. I reminded myself that every contraction meant I was one step closer to holding my baby. Now, that didn't make them necessarily, quote unquote, easier, but it made me want to endure them even more, right? I focused on my breathing and making low bellowing sounds. I'm going to give an example so that you guys aren't caught off guard, but a lot of it sounded like, ooh. And I'll talk a little bit more in a little bit about the what happens with your sphincters when you do that versus like a high pitch where you're like, ah. I used a breathing ball. I used the birth sling, which I'll link. And the birth sling helped me work with gravity as much as possible without having to like hang all over my partner. Instead, you know, my husband was able to like rub my back, help me with the heating pad. I was able to like squeeze his hands. I was also able to, or he was able to, you know, get me water and things that I needed. Yeah. And I'm telling you, through those contractions, I squeezed my husband's hand so hard. And when I would do that, I would just squeeze it with everything I had. And then I would focus at the same time at relaxing my pelvic floor. I know a lot of women, I didn't do this, but I know a lot of women who do it. They use combs because it redirects like a sense of pain in the body to a different part of your body. And so I highly recommend looking into that. But, you know, ultimately, you know, what it came down to was I could do all of these things, but I ran out of energy, you know, and I just cried out to God in the moments that I needed him most. Like, I did not care what anybody thought. It was literally, I know everybody was there, and my husband was a huge part of my birth, and so was my mom, and so was my midwife team. But I, it was like, it was just God and I at so many points where I was just crying out to him. And, you know, I invited the Holy Spirit into my birth, and it was just, it was such a supernatural experience, such a refining experience. And, you know, I could talk about how I prepared for birth for hours, honestly. But I'm just going to leave you with those for now. I do pray that you guys do, you just do your research and you spend time in prayer so that you can have the birth that you deeply desire. Childbirth, truly, ladies, it can be such a sacred experience if you want it to be and if you allow it to be. Now, on to my actual birth story. Now, I am going to break this down into parts just to make it a little bit easier to digest. So part one, you know, knowing whether or not you are initially going into labor should be a sport, straight up. There are so many indicators on whether or not you are in early stages of labor. Some examples are the loss of your mucus plug, but wait, you know, it also could be liquefied, so you could lose it and have no idea. And then your water breaking, but wait, it's not necessarily like what you see in the movies. It could be more like you casually going pee in the toilet or like a little trickle. You know, contractions, but wait, initially they could be more intense period cramps / Braxton Hicks. And if you're anything like me, you had intense Braxton Hicks from like week 25 on in pregnancy. And so you were used to those initial cramps. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But this is how it specifically went for me. It was my due date, and we went to dinner at our family's. Spaghetti was on the menu. If you know me, you know I love pasta, like so much. And so this was just so delicious. And after we ate, I was feeling a bit achy, which I didn't think much of because I had been achy that entire week. I was also 40 weeks pregnant. I had also been dealing with plenty of Braxton Hicks contractions for weeks and weeks. So I knew I was going to be uncomfortable at that point in my pregnancy from time to time. And I also knew that like only around 5% of babies are born on their due date. So I was like not convinced that I was about to be in labor. But later that evening, around 11 p.m., I had to go pee. And based off of my pee experiences thus far, I knew to wait a few moments on the toilet after I peed because a little bit more would typically come out after. And, you know, this time I was sitting there, I was peeing, wasn't really thinking about it. And all of a sudden I felt like the second rush of water. And I was like, that was more than usual. But I also was like, I also was kind of dozed off. So I don't really know what's going on. And I literally thought to myself, like, was that pee or was that my water breaking? I don't know. And so we went to bed shortly after. And I remember just being like, hey, babe, like, I think my water broke. And he was like, oh, you think? And I'm like, yeah. No idea, but I guess we'll find out, right? And so we went to bed and boom, I woke up at 3:45 to a really intense cramp. But I was like still pretty much asleep when it happened. So towards the tail end of it, I came out of my sleep and I was like, did that just happen or was I dreaming that? So I had to wait around like 15 minutes for another one of those cramps. And it was very strong. And so I was like, you know what? All things are lining up to tell me that I am in labor. So I didn't wake my husband because I was like, he is going to have quite the day tomorrow ahead of him. And so I was like, I'm just going to go draw a bath. I'm going to do a little Epsom salt soak. I'm going to turn on my Christian hypnobirthing tracks and I'm just going to relax. And that's exactly what I did. And then once I got out of the bath, I had to pee. So I sat on the toilet and bloop, there went part of my mucus plug. So I texted my midwife and she ended up walking me through the next steps. That's when like the official timing of my contractions began. I highly recommend downloading some sort of contraction timer app. That was super helpful. And then, you know, I woke up my husband around 5:30 a.m. and said, we get to meet our baby girl today. And he was ecstatic. He just gave me a big kiss and he was smiling from ear to ear and he said a prayer. And, you know, that moment with him, I truly will cherish forever. It was so special. And it was like our last moment like that, where we were like, we are going to be parents like at any point, either today or tomorrow. And that's crazy. But right now we have just us. And that was just so special. It was like the beautiful in between. So we spent the remainder of the morning snuggling. He made pancakes while I still had an appetite. It was great that they were protein pancakes, so it gave me that extra boost. And, you know, ultimately it was so bittersweet, you know, like we were in between two worlds. We were in between being a family of two and a family of three. Part two. So I know there are so many women out there who do what they can to prepare and their birth plan just does not go the way that they prayed it would. And so my heart goes out to you ladies. You are warriors because it takes so much strength to accept circumstances that we cannot control. You know, right now, transparently, I am going to unapologetically share how my prayers were personally answered, but I'm going to remain in deep empathy for those who did not have that same story. The reality is what works for one of us might not work for the other. And the same goes for each pregnancy. I know there's nothing that can fully prepare you for childbirth, but there are so many things that inevitably make a huge difference, and that's mentally, physically, spiritually throughout labor. So I'm going to share some of those. So the books I read, which I will link each of these, Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, that has more of a home birth approach. So if you're not considering home birth, just know that, but it still has like really beautiful birth stories in it. Mama Natural, Guide to Childbirth, like that book was it. Like my go-to at every moment throughout pregnancy. I cannot recommend it enough. Pain-Free Childbirth, so eye-opening, so liberating, so freeing, just amazing. And then Real Food for Pregnancy, which I mentioned previously. The courses that I took, a dear friend of mine, Jenny Donnelly, actually came out with a free course. It's a short course and it's called Victorious Birth Course. I actually linked that. That was really great, especially if you're considering a hospital birth. It just – it gives you pointers specifically for a hospital birth. Christian Hypnobirthing, again, you can use code MADISON, all caps, for 20% off. That was the main course for me. And there's a bundle deal where you can get the course and the tracks. And that was – the tracks were just – such a huge blessing, like I said, throughout pregnancy and then also all the way during my labor. Pain-Free Childbirth, she has the book I recommended previously, but she also has some separate classes and different things like that. And so I ended up taking a class to try it out. That was great. I, again, listened to Christian Hypnobirthing tracks throughout my entire pregnancy. Got really acquainted with her beautiful voice and calming, peaceful voice. And it just – it brought me so much peace when I heard it when I was in labor. I will say, you guys, it is so important to steward your health before pregnancy, during pregnancy, postpartum. And so much can fall under that, but I just want to preface that. You know, I ate very healthy during my pregnancy. I really, before I was pregnant, I actually did a very in-depth 12-week gut health reset, and it changed my life. It changed my relationship with food. I had struggled with binge eating in the past. I had struggled with different things, and so it just, it was so beautiful. And it really taught me that food is fuel. And it's not like in pregnancy, like it's not just about you anymore. It's about the baby that's in your womb that is either getting nutrients from what you're eating or not really, right? And so it's like, what would you rather have? Would you rather like fight some of those unhealthy cravings and actually give your body what it's really asking for? And give your baby what your baby truly needs? Or do you want to just shovel a bunch of crap in your mouth all the time and not give your baby the nutrients that they deserve, right? So it's so important for you to keep that in mind. I moved my body continuously, whether that be walks, workouts, with modifications, of course. And I just like carefully listened to my body. And when I needed rest, I rested. And sometimes that was in the middle of a workout. And that's okay. It was time to go. This next one, oh my gosh, you guys. Like I went to the chiropractor multiple times a week. And I want to recommend that you choose a chiropractor that specializes in the Webster technique. And that actually is when they focus on the sacral and pelvic regions. I experienced my pelvis being out of alignment more times than I can count because everything was shifting and my body was growing and all of that. And so I found so much relief at the chiropractor for that. And I also experienced sciatica and, oh my gosh, you guys, so terrible, so miserable, and found so much relief from the chiropractor. For me personally, when I would go in with the sciatica, sometimes it took a couple adjustments, couple different sessions start to feel relief because it was so intense. And sometimes it would intensify after that first adjustment. And then I'd go in again the next day and it was relieved. And it was just, it was such a blessing. I remember my mom telling me that my grandma would, she mentioned that during her pregnancy, she would have terrible sciatica and she could barely sit on the toilet. And back then they didn't have chiropractics and things like that. So it was just something you had to endure. And so it's like, man, it's just, we have so many beautiful forms of medicine and care these days that it's like, we have to take advantage of them more. I also worked on my perineum daily starting at 35 weeks. I used my PeriMom perineal massager. I'll link that. But it was an absolute game changer. It just like helped me do stretches within my perineum to get it used to stretching so that I could hopefully avoid a perineal tear, which I did, which is amazing. I worked with a pelvic floor therapist and did the biofeedback that I mentioned to you guys before, which was such a game changer. I drank organic red raspberry leaf tea every day towards the end of my pregnancy. Honestly, I loved it with like a little splash of fresh lemon, some juice from a lemon, but it was great. I had hired an incredible midwife team. You know, some of the birthing tools that I had in there with me, I mentioned the birth sling, the birthing ball. I also had a heating pad, a birthing tub. But, you know, most importantly, like the best tool I had was my relationship with the Lord and deep prayer, partnering with the Holy Spirit as I submitted to my contractions and just truly just cried out to God for strength. It was just, that was ultimately truly what got me through everything. So part three, it was 10 a.m. Contractions were about 6 minutes apart and I, you know, wanted those pancakes. So I requested Mickey Mouse shaped pancakes and that's what I got. But after breakfast, I went into our guest bedroom, which we now call the birthing wing. And I just sat by myself, turned on my Christian hypnobirthing tracks and began praying. In our birth wing, there's a queen bed. There was a blow up birthing tub, a birth sling, birthing ball, walk-in shower with a seat, like full bathroom, which all of that was just so incredible to have. I almost did it in another area of our house. And I'm so glad that the midwife team talked me into doing it in our guest bedroom because I needed the bathroom close by. And I can't imagine if I had to like climb up some stairs to a bathroom or anything like that, or even walk more than a handful of feet at certain points of my labor. I wasn't sure what I would use during my labor, but I knew it was important to me to have an option. And so come to find out, I actually wanted to use all of those options. So I did. But following, you know, that pelvic floor therapy appointment where I did the biofeedback, learned what labor positions my pelvic floor was the most relaxed in, I realized that for me personally, it was on my side with my top leg straddling a pillow and bottom leg straight. It was on all fours, knees and feet out. It was squatting. Again, that's working with gravity. And on my back, knees in, feet out, surprisingly. Like I totally would not have guessed that last one, but my pelvic floor was very relaxed in that position. So that was very good to know because I ended up using it at certain points and I wouldn't have known that otherwise. I probably would have avoided that position. And, you know, those first couple hours, when I was laboring, I spent them on the toilet, mamas, if you know, you know. But honestly, it was nice because I was able to sit there and then have like the hollowness of the toilet so that there wasn't too much pressure where my full pelvic floor was. It wasn't as opposed to like sitting on a hard seat or something like that. the next couple hours, I was on all fours with my arms on my birthing ball and then also squatting using my birth sling. At one point, I remember I was squatting using the birth sling, and then I had a couple pillows under my bum so that I could squat, but I could like drop down easily and rest and then get back up into a squat. Around noon, my mom and also midwife arrived. Crazy story, which I won't go into it fully, but my mom was leaving that next day for my brother's wedding in the Dominican Republic. So it was legit the last day she could have been there. And we prayed, you guys, so freaking hard for that. And I am beyond grateful that God faithfully delivered. You know, I had gotten to the point where I had total peace if she wasn't going to be there. Like, I was like, okay, Lord, like, if she's supposed to be there, she will be there. And I remember when I went into labor, my midwife knew how deeply I wanted my mom to be there. And she was like, did you do anything to put yourself in labor? And I was like, no, like, it was just prayer. And she was like, of course it was, you know. But she couldn't help but ask, because she's like, what the heck? Your water is breaking on the day that you were due, which was just nuts. You know, at this point, I was still able to have full conversations in between contractions. But during the contractions, I definitely needed to like focus, you know, do those bellowing noises and take really deep breaths. Those bellowing noises during childbirth directly correlates with the sphincter law. So I highly recommend looking into the sphincter law. Ina May actually talks a lot about it in her book as well that I linked. And then, you know, when the afternoon rolled around and things really started ramping up, I was at a point where I needed support from both my mom and Luke. And my midwife would occasionally come into the room and check on baby and I, but like ultimately she just let me do my thing, which is exactly what I needed. I didn't need somebody checking on me every 5 seconds. I needed quiet. I needed the people in there that I wanted in there. And I just, yeah, it was perfect. Contractions after that were around 3 minutes apart, and in between them, I was focused on preparing both mentally and physically for the next contraction. So that was at the point where really my contractions had stopped, and the Christian hypnobirthing tracks were really all that I wanted to hear. I didn't want anybody talking, nothing. And thankfully, everyone was super respectful of that. And, you know, this was the point in labor where straight up, I really began to understand the true meaning of perseverance and endurance, like the true meaning and like what it actually means to do those things, like to the max. This is when the birthing process became very supernatural for me, because as my flesh continued to become weak, I at the same time was strong in him, in Jesus' name. And that is what carried me through. There is this little story. It's really cute. It's called Footprints in the Sand. And it's about this person who is like, you know, God, I knew that through the hardships of life, you told me that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You told me you'd always be with me as I walk through those. But I'm really frustrated, God, like when it came to the hardest moments of my life, for some reason, I only saw one set of footprints. Like, why weren't you there for me? Why did you leave me? And God answers and says, my child, my dearest child, it was when you only saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And I just like, that puts me in tears, because it was just like he carried me through so much of my labor, and it was just, it was so special. I actually had a picture of Jesus hung up right where I could see it when I was in my birthing tub, and I just like drew strength from him and from that picture. Okay, I'm gonna take a drink of water. Normally, I'm sure that would be edited out, but we're not there yet, guys. Okay. So we're just going with it. My nose is running. You know, I need water because my throat gets super dry, but we're doing this, ladies. We're doing it. So part four. Originally, I had planned on only having my midwife check on me like 1 to 2 times during labor, if at all, because I wasn't quite sure I wanted to be checked. But after surrendering the process to the Lord, I felt called to get a cervical check 3 times. The first two, I prefaced this to my midwife. I was like, I don't want to know what I'm at until I'm transitioning. Like, I do not want to know what I'm measuring at until I'm transitioning. So for the first two, I asked her not to tell me. Well, I didn't know that it would be the first two, but she knew not to tell me those first 2 times what I was dilated at, and instead tell me what I should be doing at that stage of labor in order to help things progress. And I can't recommend this enough. It helps so much with your mindset, because birth is such a huge mental game. And I didn't want to feel discouraged with the level of discomfort that I was experiencing. And, you know, so I requested she only tell me once I arrived at or was close to transition, which is at about 8 centimeters dilated. When I was in transition, I felt like she was quite literally going to come out of my butt. And I knew that from what I had read, that that was a sign that you were in transition. And so I went from like that last, like the second cervical check to transition very quickly, which come to find out the first cervical check, I was at a 3 centimeters. Second, I was at 6. So I went from 6 to 8 really, really fast. And there was so much pressure. And as soon as I told my midwife what I was feeling, she offered to check me. And we decided it's time to fill up the tub, which took some time, y'all. And our hot water had to reset, as it does in a house. And so, well, in most houses. And so, yeah, that was tough, because then we'd have to turn it off. We'd have to wait for it to get hot again, fill it up. And so, the reason I didn't spend a bunch of time in the tub was to make sure I was working with gravity so that labor would move along nicely and would progress. Sometimes women get into the tub too soon, and unfortunately it like stalls their labor. So keep that in mind. And in order to endure labor outside of the tub, it took a lot of mental preparation, prayer, and faith. To know that I wasn't just going to immediately turn to the tub. And also, like, come to find out, like, the tub was great, but it definitely didn't bring the level of relief that I, like, was assuming it would. It took off so much pressure, don't get me wrong, and it was beautiful, and I'll do it again, and I loved it. But I think I was just assuming that I was going to have a like way more relief, way, way more relief. You know, labor is obviously physical, but it is more than anything majorly about your mindset. So work through the fears, work through the doubts, work through your concerns, replace it with God's promises and goodness and encouraging words. You know, some mindset shifts I had during pregnancy that helped me throughout labor was that the uterus is the strongest muscle in the human body, and each contraction is the muscle simply pushing my baby out into the world. Like, it's literally like, it's like a balloon. And they showed this, especially in the pain-free childbirth class. She showed this. She like drew lines on a balloon, and then she like squeezed the balloon from the sides, but then also said, you know, imagine something like pushing down from the top at the same time. And that's like a contraction. It's just like, it's pushing your baby through the birth canal. It is power. It shouldn't be identified as pain. Like, yes, I understand pain will occur. I like to use the word discomfort instead. Like, my mind accepts that better and receives that better. But contractions are literally so much power. Each contraction means I'm one step closer to meeting my baby, like I said. And, you know, God is entrusting me to bring life into this world, which means he will most certainly be my strength and my foundation as I endure every single stage of labor. You know, I wholeheartedly believe that my mindset was one of the many reasons my labor moved along quite quickly and overall went incredibly smooth. My active labor was around 7 hours with a pushing time of 25 minutes. So baby girl was ready to enter this world. I think my total labor was around 17 hours, which for a first-time mom, that is pretty fast. Throughout, this was interesting to me because I hadn't read about this. I didn't know about this. It was pretty rare, but throughout my entire pushing phase, I was actually throwing up, which was not ideal, but it was honestly a nice little distraction from the immense amount of pressure and discomfort that was happening. But I will say that as soon as I held her in my arms, the joy just, it just took over. You know, thank you, oxytocin. And the discomfort honestly just disappeared. And one of my biggest fears was that I was going to tear. And although I did not tear my perineum, which is the toughest recovery and the toughest tear down there, I had a very tiny bilateral tear. And I normally was not a huge fan of needles, but literally I got through childbirth and I was like, cool. Give me some lidocaine, stitch me right up. She put her little headlamp on, stitched me up on the bed while I was holding my baby. All was well in the world. My husband was feeding me chicken and rice casserole that my girlfriend had dropped off earlier that day. So it was just such a beautiful environment. And, you know, I can honestly say that childbirth was single-handedly the most transformative and challenging yet incredibly rewarding experience of my entire life. You know, I will say since sharing my birth story on socials and just with friends and family, I am just so overwhelmed by the encouraging feedback that I get of people, you know, telling me how much they appreciate me for sharing my birth story and how it has showed them that childbirth can actually be an empowering experience. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be something that we dread or run from. To be completely honest, I had to heal a lot of paradigms around childbirth throughout my pregnancy. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of instilled in a lot of women through, you know, TV, like shows and movies that portray childbirth to be this miserable experience and very dramatic and very overwhelming all around, not just for the mom, but also for the dad and the medical staff. And it's just like, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be very calm. It can be very beautiful. It can be very intimate. It can be so special. But some of the fears that I initially had, I want to walk you through. So here were some of them, that it was going to be extremely painful. Like what I had seen in the movies or what I had seen in the shows, that I was going to tear, that I wasn't going to be strong enough to endure the pain because so many women told me that I would 100% need an epidural. That I was going to be so overdue that I would have to get induced, that I would need to transfer to the hospital for pain relief or an emergency, that I would need to get a C-section, that I wasn't even worthy of being a mother for so many different reasons. And that list goes on. But, you know, what I also realized throughout pregnancy is how important it is to surround yourself when pregnant, especially with women who have had empowering birth experiences and what that truly does for women's mindsets going into childbirth. Ina May talks so much about this in her childbirth book, but just, you know, like how imperative it is for pregnant women before and during childbirth and also postpartum to be surrounded by other women who have had empowering experiences. And I think that goes for anything in life. Like for most people, they can probably relate to this. it's hard to be around someone who has never had a successful relationship because they will consistently be negative about any relationship, like in terms of with a significant other. You know, I know there are women who surround themselves with the right women and then do all the right things and still not have the birth they had hoped for. And again, my heart goes out to you mamas who that's your story. You know, but what it comes down to is how you speak about it afterwards. You know, like, yes, you give yourself that time to heal and to ride the emotional roller coaster if things didn't go your way. But ultimately, you have to ask yourself this question, you know, like, am I giving my power away and then projecting my fears onto other women, or am I sharing it from a more empowering point of view? Although it didn't go as I planned, you know, you still are able to somehow find God's goodness in it. Yeah, I just think that is just is so key. And yeah, easier said than done when my birthing experience went the way that it did. But I will use this example for me personally with miscarriage and with conception. Like, I was so excited to conceive, and I conceived, and I lost my baby shortly after, and I was angry at God. But then I like just looked to him, and I just remember I put my arms out and I was just like, use it, God, like further my ministry with women, because if you don't use it, if you don't give purpose to this pain, it's going to destroy me. And he used it. And for me personally, I needed to have that conversation with him. I needed to ask him to use it. Even though I knew he would have anyways, I had to acknowledge that he would, because I could have stayed in this negative mindset, even though the goodness could have occurred. And I chose to leave the negative mindset behind and use it in an empowering manner to glorify him and to grow the kingdom and to ultimately encourage other women who are walking through that. A beautiful way that God, you know, uses those moments of ministry is by furthering, or those moments of misery, excuse me, is by furthering our ministry. And that's something that I think I've shared in a previous episode, that a friend, Milena, shared when she walked through a loss of her baby, you know, and it was much further along than me, but regardless, you know, she just said, you know, my misery will be my ministry. And I wholeheartedly believe that there is a ministry in every ounce of misery in our lives, a way that we grow through that if we choose to grow. So what I realized over time was that there was a healthy way to respond to women who immediately after congratulating me on my pregnancy would inevitably share something negative around childbirth. Like, I'm so excited for you, but you're really going to need an epidural, or good luck, or, you know, the list goes on. But, you know, ultimately my response to them was, you know, I'm so sorry that you had that experience, and I would love to talk more with you about it, but would it be okay if we did so after I give birth? And then just explaining like my personal reasons why. And it was always received really well. I would say some people probably masked that and portrayed it to be okay when they were really kind of annoyed, but that was not my issue. You know, like, my delivery was on point and I was doing what I needed, and that's okay. You do not. And I want to close out with this. You do not have to allow, and yes, allow, because you have a choice to whether you allow somebody or you don't. You do not have to allow others' fears to dictate how or where you give birth. It is your decision. It is your decision, mama. I'm going to say that again. You do not have to allow others' fears to dictate how or where you give birth. It is your decision. It is between you and God. It is between you and your spouse and God. So There was so much in this episode, so much to digest, but I'm glad I was able to share it all with you. You know, I just pray that this episode is encouraging to so many mamas. And I just want to remind you that you are capable. You are capable, sister. I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for sisterhood and community. We thank you for the gift of conception, the gift of childbirth, the gift of bonding with our baby postpartum. Lord, we know that there are heavy hearts listening to this episode. There are heavy hearts just around the world. Women who are struggling to conceive, women who are longing to be mothers, you know, women who have had losses, you know, the list goes on. But Lord, we just want to thank you for healing us, how you see fit. We want to thank you for using our misery as our ministry. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to choose community that's going to encourage us as we navigate these different journeys as aspiring mothers and or mothers. Lord, I especially want to lift up, you know, the women who didn't get the birth story that they so deeply desired. I just pray for a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray for joy to just come in the morning, Lord, and for their perspective to be renewed, and just for you to use it, Lord, like use their pain and give it purpose, to ultimately glorify you, Lord, and to encourage others around them. We thank you, Lord, for all of you that you do. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your guidance, your presence in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for tuning in to this extra long but extra sweet episode. Please be sure to check out the links. I linked quite a bit of things, and feel free to reach out if you have any questions. I love you, gals, and I'll see you next week.